name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more, at God the Father's own right hand, where angels host adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Redeemer, Savior, friend of man, won, ruined by the fall, thou hast devised salvation's plan, for thou hast died for all. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace. Oh, all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen and amen. Well, what a blessing. You may be seated if you will. All righty, all righty. Praise the Lord. See, just to hit stop stream. Cool. All right. Well, praise the Lord, guys. Well, what a blessing again it is to be here this morning. And appreciate that, Brother Preston. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen and amen. So we're going to get into our opening sermon this morning for a new Wednesday series. It'll take about 3 weeks to get through. Looking forward to it. So if we're open our Bibles up, if you will, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, then I'll give you the title of the, not only today's message, but as well as the series as well. John chapter 15, the Bible says, very familiar passage of Scripture. We know it quite well. And if we will just briefly stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God, that will be a blessing. John 15 and verse 13. The Bible says here, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Father in heaven, again, we ask you, dear God, to bless us this morning. Be with us today. Lord, I ask that you please would watch over our family, dear Lord. Give us the guidance, grace, and mercy that we need to better and best serve you. Lord, we'll give you honor, glory, and praise. Father, love you, and thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing. Please be seated. So the title of the series that we're looking at here over the next 3 weeks is Serve Others, Love Others, or solo, if you will. Serve others and love others. And what we're going to do, we're going to begin to look at three different characteristics that we as believers, that we as, I say believers as human beings, that we simply can apply in our life to serve others and love others. And the first one that we're going to look at today, and this will be today's topic, is that of a friend, that of a friend. So part one for our Serve Others, Love Others series is a friend, or the ministry of a friend, if you will. So the Lord Jesus Christ understands what is known as the supreme standard of believers is that the love that Jesus Christ has and shown the world. So the supreme standard of believers today is revealed in who and what Jesus Christ is and the love that he has shown unto the world. It was Jesus Christ who has set the examples to serve others and to love others. It is the gift that was given unto mankind. And true love comes in form of true friendship. And Jesus Christ says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. So the first thing that we find, that true love and true friendship is going to require sacrifice. It's going to require sacrifice. Now, you may be sitting here this morning thinking, hang on a second. If I'm a friend, why should I sacrifice? If that's what the true measure of a friend is, well, the Jesus Christ says it very clearly. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ died and sacrificed himself for his friends. John chapter 13 and verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." My friend, there is a sacrifice involved in friendship. And there is a great ministry of friendship as well. Charles Dickens, in his famous writing called The Tale of Two Cities, he reveals a perfect example of friendship where personal sacrifice is disregarded. As a matter of fact, John 15, verse 13 actually is paraphrased in his book by this statement here. The two characters that become good friends are Charles Darnay and Sidney Carton. Darnay is a young Frenchman who is thrown in the dungeon and faces the guillotine the next morning. And Carton is a wasted lawyer who has finished his life, as it were, as a loose living individual there in England. Carton hears of Darnay's imprisonment, and through a chain of events, he gets into the dungeon and he changes garments with Darnay, who escapes. The next morning, Sidney Carton makes his way to the steps that lead to the guillotine, and Dickens writes this: "Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends." It's a paraphrase of John 15, 13, we understand, but it is a classic example of what true friendship really is. And beloved, our Lord understood this. He exemplified this in his life, and he exemplified this in his death. It was Apostle Paul who said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." On Sunday evenings at Calvary, I'm preaching the series now on Family Matters. And one of the positions that I went over out of Ephesians chapter 5 this past Sunday night was the position of husband. The position of husband, you hold the position of sacrifice in the home. How do we know that? Ephesians 5 verse 25 tells us that husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. All right, he gave himself for it. The Apostle Paul says that he lives by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The old hymn reads, "Once far from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see, but in God's word the light I found, now Christ liveth in me." My friend, it is a friendship that the Lord Jesus Christ gives as an example to us that we can pass on to others, that our friendships may be a bond held together by the Savior himself. Again, the Apostle Paul writes, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." It is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that holds us together, that places a bond between friends. A friend is willing to sacrifice for another one. A friend is willing to sacrifice for others without expectations. A sacrifice that is just that. A sacrifice well worth the friendship that the Lord Jesus Christ solidified. Beloved, if you do something for someone, whether it comes with a cost or not, but if you do something for someone in this world today and you do so expecting something into a return, that is not a sacrifice, that is not a kindness. All that is a swap, if you will. That's all that is. That's an exchange of ideas or means. So what sacrifice have you paid for a friend, beloved? Asking nothing in return, looking for no credit whatsoever, but that which may be granted, and seeing the smile on the face of that one you have befriended. I'll say this again, a friend sacrifices. A friend sharpens. A friend sharpens. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 27. You probably know where I'm going. Proverbs 27 with me hurriedly this morning. Proverbs in chapter 27, and look with me there in verse 17. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." A friendship is a relationship that improves the quality of itself. It is a union of unity that complements one another. Two pieces of a puzzle, if you will, fitting jointly together to make a whole. Some of you may remember, I know, well, you may or may not, but soon after Jack Benny died, George Byrne was interviewed on television. And he said, "Jack and I had a wonderful friendship for nearly 55 years. He goes on to say that Jack never walked out on me when I sang a song, and I never walked out on him when he played the violin. We laughed together, we played together, we worked together, we ate together. I suppose that for many of those years, we talked every single day. Beloved, a friendship and a friend is not something nor someone that uses the other, but rather something that is sharpens the attitudes, sharpens the actions, and sharpens the attributes of each party. It's not a take relationship. That's, you know what that's called? You know what a take relationship is called? That's called a parasite. That's called a parasite. A parasite always takes but never gives. But rather, this friendship, if you will, it sharpens. It is one that would choose to give before it receives. The Bible says, remember the words, this is Paul, remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. The ministry of a friend improves one another. It helps in ways that others cannot. That mere friendship is a benefit, my friend, and a blessing one for another. That's what a friendship is. And that's what a friend will do. A friend improves the situation. A friend improves the circumstances of their particular life duties, caring only for the needs of others. A friend sacrifices. A friend sharpens. And beloved, go back to our text verse here this morning. A friend shares. A friend shares. John in chapter 15 is where we'll be. A friend shares. John 15 is a glorious chapter. 14, 15, and 16, and 17 are actually linked together. And in John chapter 15, we find the chapter by context is about the fruit. The answer to our fruit is dependent upon our relationship with the Son. The Son is mentioned over 30 times in John chapter 15. With John 15, verses 13 through 15, again, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He says, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Friends can confide in one another. Friends have a confidentiality to bear one another's burdens. One of the greatest and probably most absent relationship among ministers, missionaries, missionary wives, pastors' wives, preachers' wives, evangelist wives, in the world today is this very particular point. Having someone that you can honestly share your burdens with, share in confidentiality with, and not have any fear whatsoever of it leaking out or any type of retribution. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do you know if we're not burden bearers one for another, we are forsaking the law of Christ? What is that? Well, that's what Jesus Christ did. He says, I'm not calling you servants. And Paul clearly said that he was a servant of Jesus Christ. Paul called himself that. Peter called himself that. But Jesus Christ says, I call you not servants, I call you friends. Why? Because everything that the Father has given to me, I have shared with you. Servant knoweth not what goes on, but the friend now. It's a different story. A friend is someone who can and will carry a burden. And sometimes the load of that burden is that of honesty. Proverbs 27 and verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Sometimes the burden is that of the burden of honesty. Sometimes just being open and honest and in a way that may potentially hurt that friend is the burden that you're actually carrying. But beloved, with a friend, there are no hidden agendas. Each one is looking to the well-being of the other at all times. How their decisions may affect the other. How their choices may affect the other. How their words may affect the other. I believe one of the things that we have lost the filter of is our mouth. I think social media is a big contributor to that. People believe they can just say anything they want or do anything they want without any fear of retribution. When I was growing up, you had a fear of opening up your mouth or making certain gestures because you may get that mouth closed. And I personally believe, guys, without being too carnal this morning, we need that fear back in our society today. We need that fear back in our society. Henry Lucy, founder of the Time Life Incorporation, probably influenced the world opinion more than any other publisher in history. Lucy frequently reminisced about his boyhood years as a missionary son in Shantung, China. In the evening, he and his father had gone for long walks outside the compound, and his father had talked to him as if he were an adult, and the problems of administrating a school and a philosophical questions occupying him were all part of their conversational meal. Lucy said that his father treated him as if he was an equal in their conversations, and their bond was tight, and they were friends, and both father and son were nourished by their relationship. Friendship is a relationship built upon trust and love. It's one that does not sit stagnant or stalemate in the midst of a moving world, but friendship grows and develops into something, beloved, in reality is unbreakable. True friendship is unbreakable. Verse 16 in our text in John 15 tells us, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Friends are not those that are used as pin cushions. Friends are not those that are used as dart boards. But one another, when one another may be in a bad mood, or but a friendship holds the bond of peace that is solidified in heaven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he says in verse 14, he says there, he goes, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you," he said. There's an action involved in friendship. You do whatsoever he commands. And what does he command? Look in verse 17. "These things I command you, that ye love one another." There's a connection between those two verses. "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you," Jesus Christ says. And the commandment that we have in verse 17 is that you love one another. There's an absolute commandment that you love one another. Now, beloved, there may be people in your life, and even fellow brothers and sisters, that you don't so much like or care for. However, we are without excuse in loving them. It is a commandment of God, and if we are a friend of Jesus Christ, we will love them despite how we feel or how we like someone. There is a ministry in being a friend. There's a ministry that is not one-sided, but it's a symbiotic relationship, if you will, feeding one another, building and growing together. It was the wisdom of Solomon that instructs us, that says that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There are men and women in this world today who have become an island among themselves. They've alienated themselves in their work, their business, their ministries, their activities, whatever it may be. They've just alienated themselves from everyone. They claim and they brag and they boast that I'm an independent of independence. But in reality, they are forsaken the greatest ministry that we have amongst the brotherhood, the ministry of friend. Whereas it may seem to be more spiritual to be alone in the wilderness per se, but it may just turn out that they're in the wilderness lonely. Beloved, if we are going to serve others and love others, it's going to have to start with the most basic principle, and that's friendship. And again, I want to say this, and I'll have a closing verse in just about 2 seconds, but I'm going to say this. If you are going to have friends and if you are going to exercise the ministry of friendship, you're going to have to show yourself friendly. For even a more carnal term, you're going to have to be attracted to some area. I'm not talking about physical attraction. I'm talking about attitude attraction. Showing kindness, showing love, showing that it's not about you. Amen. Showing that it's not always about what you have to say. It's not always about what you did. It's just not about you, but rather it's about others. Amen. Basic point, basic principle in serving others and loving others is that of friendship. I close with what Paul said in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Think about that for just a second. When is the last time that you got into a conversation amongst multiple people or one person and you thought, you know what? Their time is more important than my time. My ear is more important than my mouth, and their words are more important than what I have to say. And you just sat there and listened. When's the last time you did that? Or have you ever? You see, my friend, we should esteem others better than ourselves. And if each one of us would fulfill that small role, we would be better way onto our path of fulfilling the law of Christ, of obeying His commandment that we love one another, if we would continue to serve others and love others. It's that simple here this morning. It's not a deep, I believe it rather profound, but it's not a very deep theological debate today or deep theological statement. It is very simple, and it's being the basic principle of friendship is to love someone and to serve someone. But it's going to require you to have a sacrifice. It's going to require you to strengthen. It's going to require you to share, and then you'll reciprocate in the same. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father, again, thank you for the time, opportunity to be here together. We pray now for your continual blessing, your mercy. We ask for forgiveness of where we have failed you. Lord, we love you and ask you to bless the rest of this day. Bring us back to the next appointed time, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I hope and pray that the preaching, teaching,